Welcome back, Rock Movers. This is season 6, and it is all about the boys. We've got some amazing guests, so if you're ready, let's start moving some rocks. All right, Rock Movers, I am so excited about today. Today is our 100th episode, and as promised, I have something very, very special for you. I have my favorite human on the planet, my husband, Jason Gray. So first off, Jason, thank you for joining me today and being my special guest and the number one person in my corner all the time.
Hey, absolutely. Glad to be a part of this. It's been fun.
Yeah. Well, you've been a part of every episode. Going to get choked up already and just getting started. You've been a part of every single thing that I've done, but now you get to be on screen. Mm-hmm. And got to say, I'm a little scared what you're going to say, first off.
Yeah.
You never know. And I can't wait for people to know a little bit more about you because you are always in the background.
Mm-hmm.
You are my unsung hero, the wind beneath my wings, if you want to quote Bette Midler. But you're the one in the background that's always made everything I've done possible. So I'm really excited to put you in the spotlight and to give you your flowers and your spotlight and your stage for a little bit on my platform so people can get to see you through my eyes, hopefully. And thank you to Larry Roberts, the Red Hat guy, for sharing his studio and letting you host the mic there. So if this looks familiar from the last episode, you're right, it is. This is actually, we're borrowing Larry's studio for today. So, okay. Where do we start this conversation? Because there's so much I want people to know about you. So, you grew up in West Texas. You and I will talk kind of a little backstory. You and I met in Fort Worth, worked together for a bit. You left, became a police officer. And you and I both went through life when we ran back into each other, and life was different for both of us. And we have really been this dynamic duo and inseparable ever since then.
Yep, ever since.
And I feel like we've lived 3 lives since then, but
is that all?
Yeah, I think that's maybe, maybe more. But you've moved a lot of rocks in your life. What has been the most influential challenge or rock that you've moved that has really made you who you are today?
Man, that's a tough question because I don't know if there's any individual rock specifically. I think it's been a wheelbarrow full of different rocks that kind of made me who I am.
I've never thought of it as a wheelbarrow.
Right. Just think of a wheelbarrow full of a bunch of rocks and I was carrying them all and pushing them around.
So I carried in a bag. You carry your own wheelbarrow. That's so fitting.
I did. You could call it a flatbed trailer maybe. I don't know. but all the personal stuff, which, you know, however far you want to get into that, you can. You know, obviously there was a lot there between the ex and kids and things. And that was just on my side. And then we come together and then we've got the exes and kids and all of it, trying to juggle all that and start a new family and a new relationship with all this just white noise on the outside, just trying to fight in and interrupt and get in our way. And, we didn't let it and we didn't let it. And, then life happens, right. And we're doing different jobs and going down these paths, and then that changes, and now you're scrambling and rebuilding again. And I mean, what is singular rock? Man, there's not one. It has been multi-front battles, and they've all been very well worth it, obviously, because look at us, here we are. But no, I don't know if I could answer that with one thing.
So I think the one thing that I have seen has been, and I don't know that you're seeing it as the rock that I am, but I know we've talked about it before, but the rock of adversity against us as a couple. Because for those that don't know us, when we got together, we had both just came from marriages that were really toxic, really broken. And I had four children. Jason had one. I had a special needs little boy. And my oldest is troubled, has gone through a lot of legal battles, in jail, out of jail, drugs, all kind of things. And so by all societies, if you're going to tally it up, we were doomed to fail. And we didn't. And everybody was like, oh no, you know, you guys need to be single longer, or you should mm-hmm. meet around, or, oh my gosh, the exes obviously didn't want us happy.
Some of the kids, I don't think, wanted us happy.
Yeah, that's a true thing. So I think that has been our biggest rock, is other people.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, it was a rock we had to manage, but it really felt like everybody else's rocks, not ours. But one of the things that I'm most proud is that you have been this unconditional support for me, and I get to publicly say thank you on the Rock Movers podcast on my public platform. But I get to say thank you for all of the ways that you have just unconditionally supported me, loved me, shown up for me, encouraged me, been there for me. And you've been my rock. So you've been that foundation for me. And so those that know us and are in our circles or get to see us interact, they know how special our marriage is and our friendship and our relationship. But I get to publicly say thank you. So
no.
This wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here today doing what I'm doing if you hadn't been that rock and that support system for me. So I wish every woman had their own version of Jason. I don't want them to have mine. Mine is taken. But every woman deserves to have that. So for someone that has been that unconditional, supportive person, and we've both gone through marriages that weren't like this, what is the key to that? How do you be that person for me? Because I think some days I'm really easy to love and some days I'm not so easy to love.
Yeah, we should talk about those days.
Maybe later. Maybe another episode. Today, let's be nice. No, I do want to be real. But how have you been able to do that? Like, what is the secret of loving someone who is, I'll throw myself under the bus. Like you've helped me and walked with me through a lot of healing. So there have been days and moments where I felt very unlovable, where I was unlovable, where I was unreachable, where I was kind of in my own dark hole, going through my dark night of the soul or my shadow time or my healing time, where I just needed distance and space. And sometimes just needed to cry. And sometimes I just needed you to hold me. And sometimes I just needed you to listen. And, you know, you're the man that wants to fix it, right? And I'm just like, it's not about the nail. It's about me and my feelings and all these things. And you have literally shown up every single time and just loved me through that. What the heck is your secret?
So, and it's sad to say that it seems to be a secret, you know, for so many people out there. But for me, And first off, you're the only human in my life that other than maybe the kiddos, you know, that I'm able to do that. But humans are very selfish, right? It's always about what's in it for me. And when it came to you and me, we were friends first.
Yeah.
And so love came after. And so when you have someone who you love and is your friend, the trick is making sure that you take all your selfishness and put it aside, because it's not about me. You take all of that, throw it away. And then when you make every movement, every thought, every plan about what's best for your partner, there is no part of it that I'm in the thought process. It's literally what does she need? What can I do right now to make her life better? And when you make that person a priority and their needs are way above your own, like you just got to take yourself totally out of the equation, and you just, every action you take and every thought you have is what's best for her. Now that was for me. Right. And so as we went through life, whether you were having a bad day or whether it was a good day or whatever it was, right. Cause there's thousands and thousands of days and they're all different. Whatever was going on at that moment, whether it was just you needed space and time to process, you know, because let's face it, what are guys built for? We're built to jump in and be like, well, the fix is this. Like you said a minute ago, it's not about the nail. And so sometimes the most, you know, what you needed most was me to give you time to breathe. And sometimes you needed me to step in and save you from yourself or from a situation. And so my job was to always, and still is every day, to diagnose, what do you need? What's best for you right now? And sometimes what's best for you is not what you want, but it's what's best for you. And my job as your partner is to be able to try to discern that and diagnose that and then take action on it and not sit idly by and let you just, you know, hey, that's on you. Figure it out. You're a grown woman. You know, it's not how a relationship works. And so I know that sometimes I have to tell you a painful truth instead of a comfortable lie. And that's one other thing that we have is true transparency. But the secret, and I'm going to tell this to anybody listening, whether you're man or woman, doesn't matter. It works the same both ways. You have to put you out of the box. Every action you take, every decision you make, every thought you have, when it comes to anything going on between you and your partner, they are your priority. And if you're with the right partner, they have the same thought process as well. When both of you are making each other a priority and taking you completely out of your thought process, you can't help but win. You can't help but be able to weather just about anything that comes your way. And we've pretty much weathered a lot of stuff. I'm sure there's stuff we haven't been through yet, but we'll weather that as well because we have the fundamental tools to be able to do so. And that is, you're my priority and I'm yours. And, you know, it has nothing to do with selfish, you know, or anything. It's all about just what's best for you. And there's no self-gratification in there in any way whatsoever. It's literally, how can I make your day better? How can I make your life better? And you just have to step up and sacrifice some of your time to do that. And when you're willing to do that, what's crazy is you get all your time back and it's better because your partner's happy and now they want to give it back. And so it's literally this constant pay it forward type situation to where you're constantly taking care of each other.
Yeah. So that was what I was just about to say is it's yes. And so it's that full self-sacrificial love where you really want what's best for the other person. Mm. And at the same time, because they reciprocate that and they want what's best for you, because I think marriage isn't 50-50, it's 100-100.
Yeah.
But there are moments when I'm giving 10 and you're giving the 190 and, you know, I'm doing me, I'm healing me, or I'm out working, or I'm traveling, or I'm, you know, knee deep in a conference or whatever it is, and you're having to pick up the slack. And then I feel like it goes, you know, vice versa. When you're needing to recharge your batteries and do your things, I don't begrudge you of that. And I think that's the difference that I also see in our marriage is that this time I really want you to do the things that are really good for you, that make you happy, you know, going on your hunting trips. I've learned to be okay and be happy in my own skin with myself, which I couldn't do prior to this period of my life where I've healed through this. And I never wanted to be alone and haven't been alone because I had kids so young. But I have really just grown to this place where I love seeing you do the things that you love and, you know, encouraging you to go do those things when you can. The last few years, it's been few and far between because of work stuff. But, you know, I see that it goes both ways. So there are times when we each need to be super selfish and really recharge and fill our cups. And we both support that. So I think it's been both and, but it's just worked. It's worked for us. And I think the greatest thing is we don't take things super personal. So when things happen, I always take it. How do I say this? I always imagine and know that at your heart, in the deepest core, no matter what was said, I know what you meant was good. So I don't take it personal. I don't take it as a frontal attack, where I think maybe in my past, everything felt very personally attacked and very confrontational. And I don't feel like that is our relationship at all. So I think that's another key, is to assume the best of your spouse and assume that they meant well or meant good or meant loving or meant supportive. And so if it didn't come across that way, either one, what's going on with me, or two, how did I just misunderstand or miss a cue or something? So there's
that's a good communication. That's a good point too. I mean, it's also, what are you looking for?
Yeah, because whatever you're looking for, you'll find.
Because if you have someone you don't trust that you're with and you feel like they're selfish and you feel these things about them, so if they did something, and even and on their side, maybe they didn't intend it that way at all, but you're looking for the negative, you'll find it.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you're in a great relationship, you always assume that that person you love meant it the right way. So when something gets said, and if you're with the right person, they truly didn't mean it that way. You know, you'll see it the way their intention was and maybe not how it came out. And so it takes away the drama and it takes away an argument that probably never should have happened. Let's face it. Most arguments that I think couples get into, and I've seen friends and family get into arguments, and you're like, are y'all just having the dumbest argument ever right now in front of us? Like, this is stupid. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's toothpaste. Get over it or whatever it is. Like it's just the dumbest thing ever. And you can see right through it. Cause you're the third party on the outside and you're like, what are y'all doing? And they're wasting so much energy that could be used on friendship and happiness and joy and love and all the good stuff. And they're wasting it on building bitterness and resentment. And no one needs that. That's going to just build walls.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I feel like the gift of my 100th episode is kind of to open up the doors to my life and my home and allow people to know a little bit more about me personally, because they get to see my husband and we get to have this dialogue. So what is something that you think people maybe assume about me that they're getting wrong?
Wow. Trying to come up with other people's assumptions is a tough question. Because
there's things that you know about me and you're like, yeah, your public face is this way, but your personal face is this way. Cause I think we all have that. We put on a good, strong front.
I have no doubt. I mean, in the assumptions could be all over the board. Like, oh, you know, she's fake or she's this or she's that. I think that's probably one of the biggest assumptions you'll get, is that people are going to be like, yeah, she's like super nice, super smart. There's no way that she's, you know, that caring and nice and giving in real life. Right. Or whatever. Again, I hate trying to make assumptions as to what other people are assuming, but I just know you. And so what's crazy is what you see on this show. And when you see her, you know, talk, and I'm talking to the other people, not you right now,
yeah.
But when you see Karen, you know, taking care of people and stepping out of the box and being real and doing whatever she can to try to help somebody through something, you know, she takes those headphones off. It's the exact same human. That's one thing that I've seen about other people is they're on a podcast, they're doing their thing, and they're this almost like a theater play. They're playing a role, and this is their character when they're in front of the mic. And your character is no different from in front of that mic to when you're around the house with me and the kids or we're out having dinner. There is no difference. And you're that same person. So if somebody were to assume that, you know, yeah, she's this way, but her name's Karen. So let's face it. She's probably one of those, right? She's not, you know, she's Aww. The one good Karen out there that breaks that mold completely. And I think that may be an assumption people think, because let's face it, anybody that sees a lot of kindness and sees a lot of empathy and things in someone today, they're going to probably assume that's BS. They're going to assume that no way she's that way. No way that's real. She's faking it. That's for her show. And, you know, so if I was going to say that some people make some assumptions, I would assume, again, an assumption, I would assume that that's maybe something that people think. And I would like to set that record straight real quick, that you're no different in any other aspect of life. You know, you're real, you cut to the chase, you say it how it is, and you are willing to tell a painful truth over a comfortable lie. You don't lie, you don't hold back, but you have a way of delivering it in a way that you can take it, you know. And let's face it, I'm talking about me. I'll throw myself under the bus. One of my biggest pet peeves is disrespect. I don't handle it well when someone comes at me verbally in a disrespectful manner. I don't. We all know it's not my thing. And you're able to tell me the hardest truths and call it straight as it is. And you're able to deliver it in a way that I'm just like, you're right. Dadgummit, you know, and I have no argument and I don't take it personal. Now, granted, I love you dearly, so that's a big part of that, but it's true. And that is something I haven't known in my past from my first marriage. You know, there was no trust. There was nothing but disdain and pain, and it was toxic and horrible. So, yeah, I would say if there was any other assumptions, you know, usually it's just people assume someone's fake. And I know you're exactly the same as in front of that mic as you are in the rest of the house. We're cooking dinner. I mean, it's just, if you can, you know, it's just no different.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I try to be that way, but thank you for seeing me that way. Okay. Now I really want to dive into, what is it like to be married to the Rock Mover?
Man, she's tough.
I feel like I'm setting myself up.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to take it this way.
I do. I think people deserve the truth, Jason. The truth. You can't handle the truth. I know. But
The worry is you can't handle the truth.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah. 100%. So what's it like being married to someone who wants to coach you all the time and help you? You know,
I'd love to deny and argue this point, but I cannot.
No, you cannot. Because when you are a coach like you are all the time, I mean, it's not because you trained to be that person. Which you did do, but I'm just saying you were that person before you got the accreditations. You were that person before the certificates. You were that person before the formal education. That's just part of your spirit and your soul. And so what's it like to be married to that person? Man, you better be willing to do some damn growing and do some self-reflecting. And you're going to have to get over yourself in certain moments where you're just like, I don't like what you're saying right now, but you're freaking right. And I'm not going to admit that to you right now. And I have to just grin and bear it sometimes because I'm like, you don't know me. And then it's like, yeah, she really does know you. and she knows, and what she just said was a whole lot of truth, and you just don't want to swallow it. And so I think for me, yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of growth because, and you know, as well as anybody who knows me, I will give you pushback if I don't believe what you're saying is accurate.
Yeah.
I'm not a wallflower. And anybody who knows me knows, like, no, but living with someone who tells you the ultimate truth all the time and who is always trying to help you grow and get comfortable being uncomfortable has taught me so much in my life. And I have applied so much of this into my business life. It's been really good. It's been really good. I think it's a very much an acquired, learned life. No, I mean, seriously, I can tell you right now, most of the people watching this show and listening to this would be like, if my partner told me like the real truth 100% of the time, I don't know if I'd be able to do this. I'm serious. As much as they still, I'm sure they love each other, right? And I'm sure they have their own version of that relationship. But I think a lot of relationships, real truth in all situations is difficult. And so living with a rock mover, living with a coach 24/7, it keeps you on your toes. It makes you level up. So for me, it's made me level up because I know that I would hide my emotions behind other things. I would hide my own real person behind other things because I was wounded when I came into this relationship. You knew I was, and we worked through that. But I would not be completely truthful about things at times because I didn't want you to know, something I had done or what I really wanted to do. And I would kick around. This was in the very beginning, and you'd call me on the carpet, and I did not like it. At the same time, I liked it, which was really conflicting for me because it's so uncomfortable. And you're like, it's like, damn it. That's not what I was really doing. And it's like, and all on the inside, I'm like, that's what I was really doing. And so no, it has been a challenge. I should say this. It was a challenge at first because it was out of my comfort zone.
Okay. Fair.
And after years of practice, no, but after, oh, after
that felt really heavy, Jay.
Yeah, bro, it was. No, just kidding. No, but after time being with you and having someone stay consistent, I think that's the big thing, is you always stayed consistent. In the very beginning, that was really not palatable for me. It was hard. And after time, all those situations and the way you communicated helped me learn to communicate. Because I didn't come into this as the best communicator. Let's be honest. I came from a very guarded, protected relationship. Like, it's like I protected myself from my ex. Let's face it. I've had some family members that I was not. We struggled with communication, to say the least. And so it was always this chess game of, I could say this to get where I want to go, whether it be a truth or a lie. But at least that keeps me out of trouble. That keeps me from having the fight. And then if I say this, so I got really good at the chess game of saying things that were half truths or whatever, or a different version of the truth that was close enough to being right, just to keep myself from having this blow up or problem or,
really navigated
negative engagement. I did because my entire, 13-year relationship before you and me got together was nothing but risk mitigation regarding conflict.
Yeah. So someone that's hearing this, that's going through that type of a tumultuous, really hard relationship, but they want to stay. They love this person. They want to find common ground and an ability to communicate. Maybe it's not exactly what you dealt with, but there's communication issues and they're navigating the conflict or avoiding conflict.
Bad's bad.
What would you say to that person?
I would say start telling the truth and let the conflict happen. Because is the conflict valid if it's the truth? And I think you'll diagnose very quickly if who you're with can be who you need to be with. Because if it's truly not, why are you there? You know, I mean, and this is going to be some hard truth, right? This is the reality of it. You know, we're not here to hold anybody's hand. We're here to help you. But at the end of the day, the only thing we have between us is honesty and truth and humility. And I think if that's what you
truly love someone, if you're not loving yourself first and being, you can't be honest with someone else if you're not being honest with yourself first.
So that's where it begins. That's what I'm trying to say is you have to just stop and start today and just be real. Just be honest. Tell it like it is. Now think about your words before you deliver the message, but take a moment and deliver the message in a caring way, because whoever you're talking to is probably someone you care about, right? Whether they're the right person for you or not, you care about them. I mean, there's a lot of people that we love in our life that really are not good for us. So deliver the message in a way that's kind, but deliver the honest message. And I think it just starts with us. If we're going to be honest and try to level up, then it starts with you. You can't make them do it.
Right.
You know, 100%. You're not going to force them to do it. You're not going to change them. People are who they are. And the only way they change is they decide to. And so if you change who you are and you make it clear to them that you're going to change how you communicate going forward, I'm going to do this. Don't just blindly just change on them. Tell them, hey, I've been reading up on stuff. I've been studying things. I think this would be good for us. And going forward, to be fair, right? Going forward, I'm going to communicate in this way. And if something hurts my feelings or something bothers me, I'm going to communicate it. I'm not going to just hold it back and build resentment. And then it blows up into these stupid arguments we're having. I want to get it out of the way right now, immediately. And we're going to move through it together. And I just want you to know, so when you see me communicating to you differently going forward, just know it's because I care about you and us and our relationship. And I'm trying to be a better man or better woman in our relationship. And there's nothing more you can do, right? You've communicated it. You've told them what you're going to do. If they're fighting you the entire way and unwilling to participate, that's going to tell you something.
Yeah. And then you get to make the next choice.
And then what you do with it is what you do with it. That's on you. But at least you can know going into it, I'm doing a better job for me. I'm growing.
Yeah. I'm being a better version of me. I'm more honest.
2.0.
Authentic. Yeah.
Yep. Jason 2.0. Here we go.
Yeah. And I think that's been the gift that we gave each other, was the safe place to land in becoming our authentic, truthful selves. Because I, in the past, couldn't be that honest self. And I think that was the place I came to before we got together, was that I couldn't not be me anymore. I couldn't live a life of people pleasing. I know that that's what happened. I couldn't live a life self-sacrificially 100% for everyone else and sacrifice me. I was the expense that I was, you know, costing. So when we got together, I kind of drew a line in the sand and said, we can be friends, we can date, we can whatever, but this is me. Here's all my ugly. Here's all the good, the bad. I know that was a lot for you in the beginning.
It was. No one had ever communicated to me like that.
But I had just reached a place in my life, and however, I was 38. So I just reached a point in my life, and after that divorce and things got so bad, it was just like, I have to draw this line here, and it either works for me or it doesn't, and I'm okay either way. And I think when I got to that place, then I could let you be okay either way. and it just changed everything. And you began to show up for me in a way that no one had ever done in my past. And I was like, okay, this is different. This is completely different. Really like this. But I'm willing to walk away or let him walk away if that's what he needs, because I care about him and his wholeness and his health and his happiness as much or more than I care about my own. And so that was just such this freeing and absolutely terrifying place to be when you care that much about someone and you're willing to let them walk away if that's what they need. And I think that's been this gift that we have that has made our marriage and our friendship and our relationship so absolutely transformational and amazing. So,
yeah, no one had ever talked to me like you did there in the beginning when we were starting to date and share a little bit of life together. I remember when you did it, it was just like who talks like this? Like for me, it was like, I'd never experienced it ever. And so, yeah, you discerned me pretty dead-gum quick. And, cause the Lord knows I had my walls up. And yeah, when you did that, I pretty much just dropped them and was just like, this is definitely new. It's uncomfortable in a very good way.
Yeah.
And,
allowed me to step out. So for someone that's listening to this and they've never been in a relationship that was like we're describing, how do you find that person, or how do you be that person that attracts that relationship? Because I have my thoughts on it, but I'd love to hear yours.
Anybody looking for a relationship usually will find the wrong one. I think you've just got to go out there and care about people. It's kind of like the book you had me read, The Go-Giver. Mm-hmm. Just go out there and take care of people. Just go out there and be that person.
I love that you said the book you had me read. I give him books all the time, y'all, and podcasts. I'm constantly sending him, oh, I love this. You should listen. Oh, I love this. You should listen. So, sorry.
Back to life with a coach. Yeah. But I read the book, and it wasn't begrudgingly. I read the book.
You shared it with everybody.
And I shared it with my entire sales team and all kinds of stuff. And a lot of guys really liked it, the very few that read it. But no, I think you have to go out there and I very much believe in the energy you put out, it's the energy you're going to get back. Wow. So if you are out there and you are deciding, look, I want a relationship with someone like that. I want that in my life.
Yeah.
If it's something you want in your life, you have to put it out there. You have to be that for other people. But don't go out there looking for a relationship like, oh, he's nice or she's nice. Or no, don't do that. Take it for what it is. But in my experience, and having lived a little bit of life now at 49 years of age, I think if you're looking for something, be that for everyone around you. And those who just pour back into you the same energy, you're running with the right folks.
Yeah.
If you're around a bunch of people and you're doing that and you're doing all this and you're trying to pour all that out and you're not getting it back from anybody in your circle, change your circle.
100%. Yep.
And surround yourself with people that emit that energy, with people who emit that personality, with people who actually are willing to do the same that you're doing. All right. Now you're around the right people. And then in that new group of people that are giving that kind of energy back, you'll find your person.
Yeah. And I think that as we've grown, both of us, you know, I'll grow a little bit and then you'll grow a little bit. And we kind of like keep pushing each other to grow and continue to develop. We have outgrown some circles and we have outgrown some friends. Not to say that we're better than them. We're just pursuing different paths and grown in different directions. But the thing I'm so grateful for is that we are growing parallel in the same direction. And I think that's been something that's been critically important for our foundation. If you want to have a life with someone, you have to have someone that's willing to do life alongside of you.
I think of it like this. I like your train of thought. I think of it like this. Life in a relationship like ours is like a hike in the mountains. If you're going to go together, you have to be willing to grab each other's hands, and you've got to go together. And it's going to be up. It's going to be down. It's going to be moments that suck and you can't get any air. You know, there's going to be stuff. But you have
like
to
come in. Estes Park. I'm just going to sit here. You go on.
Exactly.
I'd crawl about
100 yards and then try to find where whatever air was left and almost died. Yeah, I remember it well, but you know, it's a great memory. But I think that's the visual I want people to understand is you've got to walk together. And there's going to be times where you're tired, you don't want to, you can't freaking breathe, or whatever it is, you're going to go through life. Life is going to challenge you. Life is going to give you pushback because there's going to be things that work against you. You know, there's going to be a lot of people out there, other humans that don't like how happy you are now, and they're going to get in the way. And they're going to derail it because if they're not happy, they don't want to see you that happy. And you, again, those are the people that need to be out of your circle. Either they're going to get over it and grow over it and be better version of themselves too, or you've got to separate. But for me, back to that comparison it's a walk, it's a hike, it's however you want it. It's a trip together, but you got to go together. And you got to commit to that and know that there's going to be parts of this hike that you're not going to like, but you got to keep putting one foot in front of the other with your bestie right there next to you. And y'all work it out. That's how I visualize it.
So agree. Okay. So I've never flipped the script on a podcast, but I think for our 100th episode, I want to turn the interview mic over to you.
No pressure.
To ask me questions. So,
great.
I'll be an open book. So, Mr. Rock Mover.
Wow. Let the inappropriateness begin. No, just kidding.
This is
your big greatest fear come to fruition right now as you hand it over the mic. You know, I think about Rock Movers and everything you've done and what you've been working towards and the people you've helped. I think I'd like to start in the beginning of that. What made you want to do that? What brought you to that idea of, hey, I want to do this. I want to coach people. I want to create a media outlet that I can connect and help people. And I'm going to call it Rock Movers. What made you start this?
I think I've shared a little bit about this in pieces throughout the years, because this is my fifth year, sixth season. But I started coaching in 2008 with my daughter, Steph, Radio Queening. So coaching on speaking and delivering speeches. I wrote speeches, and coaching just felt so natural. It was as easy as breathing to me. Like, I just loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. And it grew and evolved into other things, kind of took on a life of its own. I did pursue getting certification through IPEC and ICF and getting accreditation and all of that. And in the middle of that, completely changed careers because I started living a life of purpose. And then my financial career just didn't fit anymore. And thanks to you, I just drew a line in the sand and said, okay, I'm not going to do things that don't bring me joy or that feel so heavy and hard. So I went to work for the Cancer Society, working with the Cancer Society and coaching, and had this great five-year plan that I was going to get certified and start building my full-time coaching practice. And then I would evolve out of working for someone else. And then the pandemic hit. And in the middle of all of this, I had joined Texas Businesswomen, and with our move to West Texas, I'm now representing the Cancer Society and Texas Businesswomen in the community. So I think we kind of described it as like I was a bigger fish in a smaller pond. So I got to be on the news a lot. I was a spokesperson. I just found joy in representing things that I was passionate about and became a person in the community that, you know, if people were like, hey, I need this, call Karen, she'll know. So I kind of became that person that was known as a go-to person to do things or to know things or to connect people. And I loved that. Like that just lit my soul on fire. And then some things happened and we decided to move back to Dallas and came back here, still working for the Cancer Society, but it's a different group and it just didn't feel as good. And then COVID happened. And so here I am trying to rebuild, rebrand, create a new life. Cancer Society's gone. I'm still in the final stages of the coaching certification and have this group of women that I'm going through the cohort with. And one of them was Casey, who became my best friend. And she challenged me to start a podcast. And it was because I wanted to be a connector of women. And so we couldn't social network because of what was going on with the pandemic. So I created the podcast to give, to create a network and to give the women in my network a platform and an outlet. And when I was trying to think of what would I call the podcast, I was doing a speech to my Texas businesswomen about how life happens. And we pick up these rocks along the way that are really heavy, these things that are challenges and obstacles and traumas that happen to us. We can kind of observe those and move them out of our bag and keep the things that we've learned that are for us. And our friend Leslie Martin was on that presentation. And when I said, yeah, we're moving these rocks from one bag, you know, letting them go, she's like, hashtag rock movers. And I was like, oh, that's it. So Leslie Martin, thank you for giving me my podcast name. That's where that came from. But it became more than just a name. It became something that I really resonated with as something that I do. So as a coach, I help people move their rocks. As a mom, I help my kids move rocks. As a wife, you know, I help you to move the rocks that are in your way, the things that are stopping us, anything that's stopping us from being our most authentic version of ourselves, the things that are keeping us from loving ourselves and accepting and being and acting upon the things that we're here to do, I feel like are rocks and I'm here to move them. And so it has literally become part of my identity. Is I am a rock mover. I'm someone who helps others move their rocks so that they can choose themselves, love themselves, and have a life and a legacy that they were designed to have. And so kind of a long version, a long description of what happened and how that all came together, but it's been an evolutional journey.
So as a coach, what's been your biggest challenge of having a spouse? A challenging spouse regarding being a coach.
Mm, you have been a great
guinea pig.
I did not want to use that word, but yeah. I get to practice everything on you because you're so willing and open to learning and listening and receiving. I don't think you've been a challenge as much as you've been a gift. And have there been challenging moments? Yes. Have there been challenging situations? Yes. But they weren't you. They were situational.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have been the greatest gift that I've been given.
Yeah.
So grateful.
So many brownie points.
It's true.
I appreciate that.
But yeah, no, you've really given me, and I think this is something that I can see better in hindsight, is being a really, really young mom. So I got pregnant at 16, had my son at 17. From that time on, I feel like I have operated in this really protective, masculine energy of I have to take care of everything. I have to protect myself. And I think it actually started much, much younger when I found out I was adopted and some other traumas happened. I began to live in this fear-based world of I have to protect myself because I can't count on anyone else. And I lived in that type of energy, type of fight, flight, or freeze response until our marriage. And so it's been an undoing of that the entire time. And so it's come in stages. And there have been stages of release, and there have been stages of grief, and there have been stages of, you know, tremendous growth and this evolutionary unveiling and burning down of all the things that were me, and now the kind of reemerging version of me that now gets to show up in her soft, feminine energy, and really I get to nurture and love and be the one that takes care of others in a way that feels so authentically me, because I know I have you to be the masculine. So by you being that strong, bullheaded, masculine man in my world that wants to fix everything, I get to be the soft feminine version of me that was always supposed to be. So you just allowed it to be safe for me to be me. Now, can I be very masculine energy? Can I get stuff done and take charge and, you know, step into a room and be that alpha woman? Absolutely. I have that possibility too. And I think those two polar sides of me are so perfectly me that they're also very polarizing to someone who isn't comfortable with themselves. And I think that's been the evolutionary journey of me. Is people who knew me before Jason and people who know me after Jason, they almost don't recognize how I show up now.
Okay. No, that's, I think neither of us are who we were before we got to where we are now. Like, kind of like you.
This is like before JK and after JK. Like, those are the two versions of me, and the after JK is this version that everyone gets to see now, who gets to be the supportive rock mover and lover of all people, and the person who takes no shit. And I have boundaries now, which I never had.
No, you had zero boundaries. And I came along and I had all the boundaries.
You had Fort Knox and I had like the Grand Open Prairies. So.
Yeah, I trusted no one. And you were just like, everybody come over. And I was like, you're not letting them come over, are you? I don't want to, you know, I'm going to go. I'll let you guys hang out. I gotta go. Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. We are very similar, but we are also very different.
Yep.
So as a coach,
what is the
hardest thing for you to have to deal with as a coach? Because I can imagine there's a lot that comes along with that. And I'm not trying to lead you in the answer just because I'm thinking about it in my head. But what is the biggest challenge to try to do what you do?
I'd say two things. One is for me personally, and this isn't coaching. This is me, my personal experience. I'm so naturally gifted at helping people that I find it challenging to see it through the lens of monetary exchange. So I struggle to make people pay me for my coaching. And that comes across in the way I say that too. So because I'm so passionate about helping people, those that can't afford to pay for coaching, that's my biggest challenge, because I want to help them and I know that I can.
Yeah.
And so for those that can't afford to hire help, or they need help but they can't get help, that's probably one of my biggest challenges, is because I know I can help them. And I never want money to be the thing that keeps people from getting help.
Yeah. And of course, I've watched you go through all of this. And I would say there's one more thing to it too. That I've seen,
perspective.
It's just something out of your control, is how hard it is on you when you've tried to help someone who just isn't willing to help themselves.
That's hard.
That one's I've seen it because you're just like, I'm doing the thing. I'm doing everything I can. And they're not ready or willing or a little bit of both to try. It's like they have no desire to be an active participant in their own success. They're like, I don't want to do that right now. I'm not comfortable being a better version of me right now or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm trying to put it into words, but that's a whole nother caveat to it that makes it really hard when you're trying to help someone who just isn't willing to help themselves.
That you're so right. That has absolutely been something that's been hard to watch, hard to stomach. But at the same time, I'm also learning that I can't want it more for them than they want it for themselves. And so sometimes I have to be okay understanding that I've planted seeds and it's just not time for them to grow. And I know that everybody, we're each individually on our own journeys. And so I just have learned, or I'm learning, let me say that, I'm learning to let go and let God work on the timing. And whether it's not now, not ever, not me, I know that the things that I say and share, they're for a reason, and that maybe someone else will say it a different way and it'll bring back what I've said, and then it will grow fruit, or then it will, come to life and make a difference.
So you're telling yourself more like, hey, if they're not going to do it now, at least I'm planting the seed and hopefully that seed will grow someday.
Yeah.
And so you can have solace in that.
I'm finding solace in that because sometimes you just can't do anything for people. And it's even harder when that person is someone you really care about. So they're, a close friend or a client that you've really become attached to, or family. Those are even harder. And I think it's another reason why we can't coach. I mean, you and I support and coach each other, but I can't coach our kids, right? Because I'm also mom. And so they see me through the lens of mom, not the coach. Now, can I give them advice through the lens of a coach as mom? Yes. But there has to be those boundaries in line because they're just going to hear it differently from me than they would a third party, which is why, we hired a coach for our kids. So, it just works out that way. But yeah, that's been really hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. So next steps, what's next for Rock Movers? What's next for you? What's going on in your world now?
So I think this last year has been a really redefining year for me. With the presidency of Texas Businesswomen and the things that we've gone through. And then just also for me, this has been a really burn it down, redefine it, come back up kind of year where I get to create a life that I love, thanks to my amazing husband who gives me the space and grace to do that. But now I'm really stepping forward with the Rock Moving coaching and a book, and the podcast is going to take a little bit different turn in my next season. And I really am at a place where I don't feel like I have to explain myself or justify myself to people, which has been another part of my evolutionary growth. And I just get to fully love and be and support others to do the same. And so the Rock Movers podcast and Rock Moving coaching is taking on more of a blended approach. So there'll be more coaching on the Rock Movers podcast. And it's really more about helping people move those rocks, less about the stories. We've heard amazing stories in the past and learned a lot from our guests. I'm so grateful. And this season, you're wrapping up my season that's just been all men. But next season is really going to be okay. We've heard about how to move the rocks. Now we're going to start moving rocks. And so it's really blending my coaching and the podcast together.
Wow. Sounds like big plans coming.
Big plans. So
I feel like more guinea pig moments are coming my way.
You are so correct.
I knew it. So I've had the
hot, quiet.
I know, right? I've had the hot mic for a little while. I'm going to pass it back to you because you are the queen of this world. And I'm just a pawn, you know, trying to join in your world because I'm used to being behind the scenes. I'm that guy. I don't like being in front of the camera, or the mic, but, I think, you know, I'd like to pass it back your way now and see, you know, what else do you want to cover? You know, what next?
I think it's hard to believe we've been on here an hour, and really, I just want to say thank you for how you have influenced and helped me to become this rock mover coach and this person who can fully and authentically walk in her truth. And so, I want to just share that I think it would be great to have you back for future conversations and to just share that there's a lot more to come for the podcast, a lot more to come for the coaching, and just say thank you for making all of that possible. And I'm going to end it with just such a grateful heart and so appreciative. I teased that we were having a special guest for the 100th episode, and I can't think of a better person to be on the podcast than my favorite human. And so thank you for being here, for asking the questions and carrying the loads and moving the rocks and all the things that you've done for me, for others, for those that I care about and love most, our kids, our grandkids. And I just think there's so many more brighter days ahead. I'm so grateful for that.
Well, you're very sweet. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. You didn't have to do that. I will give you your $20 bill in a little bit.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this episode. I could go on and on. There's so many stories we have to tell, but I would love to know what people think. If they would love to see more Jason, love more insight into some of the things that we shared, because I think we really hit on some new topics. We've never talked about our marriage publicly. We've never talked about how, I mean, I'm super happy I always talk about you, but we've never talked. So I think that gave people a fun insight, but love to get feedback about that. So in the meantime, I'm just going to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all the rock movers who are listening to this podcast, who share it, who follow. Make sure you're subscribed so you get updates. But would love to get your feedback, comments, and then just say thank you. Thank you for being here with us for 100 episodes, for watching me grow, loving me through that, and being here on the next part of this rock moving journey. I'm so grateful. I love you. I love you. I love you. And just know, you don't have to move the rocks alone. You have so many rock moving episodes to help you through it, and you have me. So keep moving those rocks, and we'll see you in the next season of the Rock Movers. Love you. Take care. Wow. Wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world, and I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.